At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everybody, to the AEW Dynamite After Show review here on Wrestling Inc. We are joined by two of my favorite gentlemen of all time. Ooh. We got Flo Bull Boyce. We got the Brahma Bull, apparently. Jimmy Corderas? You grew some horns, apparently?
I grew some horns, if you smell what the ref is cooking.
And then we have a special guest. We have a special guest. He is a man who is going to be very much so in the headlines next year. We got John Cena in the his house.
Am I the only one to bring my gimmicks to this one?
Wait a minute. I can't see him. Oh, there we go.
There we go. Oh, now you see him. Now you know. Oh, whatever. Hey, how's everybody doing today?
Hi, guys.
Oh, God, no.
Hi.
So we have a rule here. I know you're kind of just helping out this week, but we have a rule where we don't mention anything Learning Tree related on the show.
Well, it's getting over now. We can talk about it. Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. I did say last week I'm going to come into it with an open mind. So I'm going to, you know, we'll see. We'll see how long that lasts.
Maybe I could use my referee's discretion and say for this week we'll allow it.
Yeah.
Hey, get past the show already. We just got on.
You know, if you're gonna do the old Learning Tree gimmick, I guess we got to give you like a name, right? You got the Bad Apple. Brian Keith is he? No, he's the Bad Apple, right?
He's the Bad Apple.
Well, and then Big Bill is the Redwood. Uh huh. Mm-hmm. So you got to give yourself a tree related nickname if you're gonna go that route.
They were tree related. That sounds, yeah. Guy's a genius. I guess I didn't figure out that.
Wait, you didn't realize that?
Nah, I went to public school, man. I'm sorry. Give me a second. I think about it.
Maybe like, I mean, I think being like a branch is too easy.
The olive branch. Hey guys.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, think about it. You got a little bit before you get into that segment. But first things first, we got news. Did y'all know that news is an acronym?
I heard about that, but is that true?
Yep. I already forgot. I talked about it the last time I was out here, but I totally forgot. It's something weather and sports. I forget. So somebody out there is in the chat. By the way, the chat in the house right now.
Did you blow a spot, bro? What the heck was that?
No, something I did. I always remember it until I mention it, and then I forget what the acronym is. And like I said, I know just like last time, people are going to talk about what news means. But I do want to give ups to the chat. We got Danny Cochran. We got I Am Error, Corey Pride, Beer Money, Dylan Matthews in the his house. We of course go way back with Dylan Matthews back to the AB After Buzz days. Buzz you later, Flobo.
Oh, yeah, buzz you later.
So we got a lot of people in here. We even got Flo Bull Boyce in the house. You're in two places at once, which it's kind of that's a little interesting.
You know, I love the chat. They're fun people.
It's like if you're here, but then again, I can't really see what your thumbs are doing.
Oh, I was doing one of these because I was trying to get my biceps in the frames. I was doing those. I'm sorry, guys.
But yeah, everybody in the chat, keep going. I want to know what you guys thought about today's Dynamite. I know we all have our thoughts as we usually do. But like I said, let's get into the news of the day. Let's talk about Tony Khan says some important announcements, the most important announcements in AEW history, are imminent. What else is new in AEW world? So he says, you know, as always, he's been teasing some of his major announcement. He recently had a chat with TV Insider where he commented on All In, but of course he said he is excited to share some of the, and I quote, most important and exciting time in AEW's history. We are on the verge of the most important announcements in history of AEW. There are multiple aspects. The arrival of these announcements is imminent. You know, big news coming up. And we can only predict because nothing's been announced so far. So, Jimmy, I want to go with you. It looks like there's more than one announcement coming up. So what's one of your predictions that these that the announcement is going to be?
I think one of the predictions is a no-brainer. It's probably the announcement of an imminent TV deal. Mm. It's been talked about forever. It's been in the works. The negotiations have been going on.
Jimmy?
What other signing can you? I know the problem is we've had so many of these huge announcements, or is it pronounced huge?
With a huge
announcements in the past that kind of underdelivered and made people go, oh, that wasn't that big of a deal.
I do want to cut you off just real quick because yes, the TV deal is a big deal, but what do you think is going to be about this TV deal? Because if anything, I think the first TV deal pretty much supersedes everything right now because that was the one that we got AEW on TV. So do you think this upcoming TV deal, what do you think is going to be about this one that's going to be maybe bigger than the first one?
If there's anything bigger in this deal, it's probably negotiating some more airtime for them somewhere on whether it's a streaming platform of theirs or something like that. But I think they're going to have more product out there. And yes, we've always talked about how they've had a lack of TV time to showcase as much talent as they have under contract. There's a lot of people that got under contract that just don't get seen, don't have an opportunity to get seen. Mm-hmm. So maybe with the expanded TV schedule that they might be getting, maybe they get ROH gets their own show, something like that. Maybe the women get their own show. Who knows? There's a lot of opportunities there if they get some more TV time.
What do you think, Flobo?
Probably might be a Wembley deal or announcement of a European tour. I mean, the thing is, there's TV and there's lots of hours of AEW, but I think the one thing that sticks in Tony Khan's craw is that he's not truly a global brand as of yet, even though the fans are coming out to the Wembley shows. But imagine if AEW goes to Asia, they go to Europe, they go to Africa, or maybe, you know.
That'd be great.
It'd be great for them, yeah. So that's my guess, but who knows at this point.
I do kind of go with what you guys are saying as far as the TV deals. And I was thinking about, like, wait, so what is so great about this TV deal that's better than the last one? So I'm predicting maybe more money, maybe a bigger contract. And like you guys said, it's got to be in addition to like some kind of streaming deal, having all the Dynamites maybe. But at the same time, even if the Dynamites are available on Max, like, what's the demand for, like, ooh, I'm going to go watch Dynamite from 2021 or, you know, late 2019. Yeah, maybe that first one was pretty cool. But maybe all the pay-per-views, maybe finally airing some of the pay-per-views on maybe HBO Max. You know, $50-$60 is kind of a little bit heavy. WWE changed the game when it came to, I guess you can say, PLEs. But, you know, are they going to be called PLEs if they go to Max? I don't know. We all know how people are weird about calling them pay-per-views or PLEs, that, you know, that fan base.
I know. Every little thing sticks in their craw.
But either way, it looks like we are going to get that very, very soon. Hopefully he doesn't Dixie Carter it anytime soon. I know she was kind of notorious for announcing that there was going to be an announcement only for it to be like some Jay Brown got signed by TNA. But
right. You know, the other thing is we saw, what was it, how long ago now, the picture heard around the world in the boardroom in Dallas. You know, a lot of speculations about that.
Yeah.
If I would have said that would be a huge announcement if it were that Shane would be able to strike a deal with AEW in some form or capacity. But because that picture leaked out, that just deflated the whole big surprise of the huge announcement, if that was it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It definitely would be pretty cool if he showed up randomly. Now, it does seem like Shane being in AEW does seem like a matter of when, not if anymore. And, you know, it's still going to be a big deal if he does show up. Mm-hmm. You know, a McMahon being in another company, and I know WCW was technically owned by WWF at the time, but, you know, a McMahon showing up in a different company that has nothing to do with a McMahon or another McMahon, it's still a big deal. So we'll see how that goes. And, you know, again, wrestling's fun, so we'll see how what ends up happening. But we got some more news, speaking of a little international going. AEW has advanced plans for another international stadium show in 2025.
Wow.
You know, going back on the previous rumors about them running Dallas, that kind of died down for a little bit. But it does look like some news is picking up, as far as, according to the Sporting News, AEW is in what they call well-advanced talks in regard to bringing a major event to Australia that looks set to be backed by the TEG Entertainment Company that would mark AEW's debut in the country at the same time. And they're already looking at stadiums, possible venues. You got the Alliance Stadium in Sydney, the Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane. Brisbane, right? Not Brisbane.
If it's Australia, it's Brisbane.
Okay.
Yeah. Because there's Brisbane, Florida, but that's different.
Yeah. And they got the Marvel Stadium in Melbourne, which, you know, holds.
It's Melbourne. It's pronounced Melbourne.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's not Melbourne.
It's Melbourne.
Well, what do you know? Well, you know, they've had a couple UFC shows there, and they also held a show in WWE back in 2002. Yep. So, you know, Australia, that's kind of becoming a hotbed for wrestling. We saw WWE running there. They ran there not too long ago, earlier in the year. You know, talk about that, Flobo. Is Australia kind of becoming, we're seeing a lot of talent come around too. We have, you know, Rhea Ripley, Buddy Matthews, the Iconics. A lot of cool Australian talent are really making their way on the scene, a lot more in the last 5-10 years than we saw previously. So are you excited for this possible Australian show for AEW?
Yeah, Australia is kind of like an untapped market, right? So you're kind of in Oceania, you're closer to the Asian market as well, but it's just a culture that likes to go out and do things. I think
you were there, right?
I went to Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, you were there. In February.
They come out to do things. Like, I think so. For us, if something is in town but across town, we go, I don't know. But like out there, it's like, hey, look, you know what? We'll show up and see what it's all about. I might even be a wrestling fan. So the name of the game is getting casuals and lapsed fans back, because hardcore fans, quote unquote, are going to watch anything. But you want the guy who's like, I watched back in 1978 to come through. You want the people that say, I don't know anything about wrestling, but I love this particular character. Why not go out there and see what's up?
What do you think? What do you think when you were there in February? I know you had your WWE fans, but did you kind of see an overall hunger for wrestling out there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Western Australia in particular, because that's a state that tends to be ignored when it comes to big events. You kind of see on the East Coast. But if you even a town like Melbourne, you know what I mean? It was kind of like, hey, I don't know what's going on, but it's a big show coming. I'll check it out. It's a local scene there. So I got to get, and that's not even just wrestling. I mean, comedy, like movies, like it's always kind of like a let's check it out.
Jimmy, were you able to make any of the Australian tours when you were with WWE?
Oh, yeah, a few of them. Loved going over there. The fans were awesome. It was always a big deal for us to head over there. The travel obviously wasn't the best part of the trip, but at the same time, once you got there, you enjoyed yourself. It was amazing. And I was at that one in 2002 as well, which was kind of cool.
If we were to predict what show is going to get to Australia, do we see All In happening maybe next year? Do we see maybe like a Double or Nothing going to Australia? What do we predict that is going to be the show that ends up happening in Australia for AEW?
If it were me, this is me, of course, my own opinion. I think that your biggest show has to go there because it's your first time there. You know you're going to draw an audience. You know you're going to pop a big, huge number. So why not go All In and have All In there? My opinion.
Whoa, hot take. It's hard to say because AEW has been very adamant by not saying what their biggest show is, because All In is only 2 years old. We have Double or Nothing, I think, is to be a bigger showcase or anniversary show. And then the other ones are pretty interesting, too. I'll be fine with whatever. I just think it's kind of interesting that you have two in Wembley and go, nah, we're going across the planet now to go to Australia. But I always wonder, what is their Starcade? You know, what is their WrestleMania?
I like how you said Starcade before Mania.
Yeah, I have a question for both of you guys, because it is a long way to go, especially with the logistics of getting all your equipment there and getting all set up and getting your talent over there. Is it something that they could do for possibly two nights? I mean, like, you have your Collision, obviously, you have your Dynamite and Rampage that have to go on, and you could probably do them from there, from a smaller venue. But do you think if they do something like an All In, maybe schedule it for two nights, possibly? Do you think?
Maybe. I mean, they're already going to have Dynamite next week in Cardiff, Wales, so they have some of the equipment heading over there. And so I'm sure they got a plan. They sure so got the money for it. So, yeah, I mean, make a week out of it. Don't just go out there for one show. Get some more revenue, you know, kind of try to get your money back. They got two shows, obviously. I don't expect Rampage to be live. Yeah, do Dynamite, do Collision the day before. Make a whole week out of it. Why not?
Yeah, it's cheaper that way too.
I do want to give shout out to some of these people on the roster. You got Donde Está saying, Jimmy, their roster is big enough.
Man.
And then you got, of course, Flobo Boyce in the house. So,
hey.
I just kind of put in a button on this Australian thing. Don't forget that they still have a pay-per-view in Japan the day after Wrestle Kingdom.
So, oh, that's right.
Yeah, so don't forget that the international thing is already kind of started. You know, with All In, kind of seems like a mainstay. It sounds like maybe All In is going to be in Wembley for a few years. That's what I feel like I heard him say last year. I'd like for them to mix it up. I hate the fact that All Out is in Chicago every year. I hate that Double or Nothing's in Vegas every year. You know, again, who am I to say? Maybe that's just probably what they want to do. Kind of going off some more news that kind of broke last week as far as the Lucha Brothers. Backstage Report offers latest on rumors involving the Lucha Brothers. You have some update that Fightful Select said that WWE has pushed to sign Phoenix in particular for some time, meaning that the duo going to NXT wouldn't be on the table or the idea, which is weird. Penta has stated since himself that he is still present with AEW, as he tweeted not too long ago, about a day ago, after reports said that he was in Orlando visiting the Performance Center. Now it looks like there's been some pushback. It has been confirmed that AEW offered a deal equivalent to what WWE offered, and some within AEW believe that the company could tack on any time spent injured if nothing has expired yet, which would hamper Phoenix more than Penta. While it has been rumored that the Lucha Brothers didn't want to do business the right way on the way out, they are still on the company's roster at the time of writing, and given that it is regarding wrestlers' contracts, nothing has officially been confirmed. So a lot more non-news, to be honest with you. You know, are they or aren't they? Are they still in AEW? Are they not in an AEW? You know, we'll see. I've been saying for a couple weeks now that CW is coming up, so I'd like to see something happen in that first NXT show, and I think them showing up on that first show would be big. Flobo, what do you make of all this? You know, rumors galore. Rumors and innuendo just exist in wrestling no matter what.
Yeah.
There's really no avoiding it. Do you think they stay in AEW? Do you think they make the trek over to WWE?
I think that comes down to what they want of their careers. I mean, Penta specifically has been such a banner character in Mexico. And even though they did pretty well for themselves, and I worked with Republic of Lucha, actually was on commentary for one of the shows called Midsummer, available on Fight, y'all. They didn't really cross over the way we thought we would with AEW. So if I was a fan, I would say, you're ready to do greener pastures. But that said, you are 5 years older. You are well-known on that brand. Lucha Underground is not coming back. Are you willing to do a risk on bet on your career to take a step back, which you would have to if you go back to NXT? LA Knight did it, and it did well for him. Ethan Page is doing it, and it went well for him. But there's a lot of people who make that change who are still struggling. So I would like them to wrestle as much as they can, because I think once people figure out who Penta is, I mean, non-wrestling fans, it's a cool character, even Fenix too. But I'm not sure if NXT is the answer for them.
Ooh, interesting hot take. I do want to add on something. And again, I know, you know, AEW tends to be an easy target, and I think it's to the fault of their own. And I say that just to say, it seems like there hasn't been any merch opportunities, because we've never said how many Rey Mysterio masks have been available to buy throughout the last 20 years, Jimmy.
Oh my goodness, the list is endless. Every time he comes out with a new mask, guess what? It's on their merchandise list.
And do you know how many Penta or Fenix masks have been available to buy on AEW shop?
Oh,
I couldn't tell you.
I got mine from Knox Pro. So shout to Rikishi, y'all.
Yeah.
I think it sounds like it's 0.0.
And there's only a 10% chance of that.
Oh my God. So already, they got whatever they end up. Whatever they end up signing for in WWE, if they do, they're going to make an easy million just on the back end of mass. Mm-hmm. And for sure, Pentagon. yeah, so much news. I mean, it's right now just a waiting game. You know, what are we going to see in the next couple of weeks? Do we see, we saw Pac on Dynamite kind of not even really mentioning the Death Triangle at all. So we'll see how that goes. But again, more rumors, more innuendo. Next week, we're probably going to have the same kind of news story as far as like, oh, something broke, but nothing's really progressed. So
it's wrestling. It's wrestling. Look at all these rumors surrounding us every day.
It's wrestling, and we love it. And shout out to Jimmy for that Timex Social Club reference.
Whoa, I do want to Timex Social Club. That's a deep cut.
Rumors surround us every day.
Jimmy loves his old music.
Oh yeah, my God. I respect that.
That can be a podcast just on its own. I do want to circle back really quick to Dylan Matthews with the super chat, talking about maybe when the show would happen for AEW. I guess it would depend on the time of the year. Rugby and AFL run from March to September/October, which use the bigger stadiums also. So that can kind of play. We got maybe late year. We got Wrestle Dynasty or Wrestle Dream. So you know, we'll see how that goes.
Here's what if I was Tony Khan, like the one pay-per-view people don't talk about as much as a brand is Full Gear, and that's in the middle of the Australian summer. Like, I would totally double down and make that a destination event, because I don't say I hated Elimination Chamber, but I wasn't going to Australia until WWE was like, this event's going to be there, you know, show up. So why not?
So I'll shout out to Flubba Boys. I didn't. Let me bother George. I'm just gonna put over all your stuff in the chat. One more piece of news before we get into Dynamite. Backstage news on prominent international act potentially signing with AEW. You know, there's a lot of rumors, as we just mentioned, with Bobby Lashley and Ricochet and Motor City Machine Guns. Where are they going to go? But Fightful selects that Rev Pro's Michael Oku and his girlfriend manager, Amira Blair, are on the verge of signing with AEW, with the deal expected to be closed soon. Those in AEW confirmed that a deal between the two sides hadn't been reached yet, but played coy with how far along negotiations were, but did note that Oku and Blair were expected to be seen on AEW programming next week there in Cardiff, when the promotion arrives in England for Dynamite, Collision, and All In at Wembley Stadium. I'm not too familiar with Michael Oku, but I had heard his name around. Will Ospreay seems to put him over a lot. He was in PWG about a year and a half ago, wrestling against Chris Jericho in like a big tag team match. So, you know, I've heard good things, and it does seem like Tony Khan does have a tap on the indie market. So Michael Oku, are you guys familiar with his work? Do you know about him, Jimmy, at all?
I got to see him and meet him here in Toronto at a local indie show that he was here for, I want to say about a month or two back. It was about 2 months ago. And nice guy, really nice guy, very pleasant. His stuff in the ring, I think he fits in well with that AEW style where, you know, he's very talented. He is. He's got a lot going for him. That's my only familiarity with him. I haven't seen much of his work outside of that, but from what I saw, he does have some talent, and I think he's got the possibilities. It's just a matter of, I want to see a complete package from him before I can pass judgment, let's just say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to sound like a WWE homer, but I do think the one thing that Stanford or Orlando does well is that they'll give you a reason to care if you don't know who he is. Mm-hmm. There are so many different wrestlers that look like $10 million, that have a great jacket. And I love this presentation with his manager / wife / girlfriend as well. But I'm concerned that that'll just be what we'll get in AEW, where you may have the potential to have someone who may be on the Souvenir Cup star, but you won't get that because you're pretty much going to get the finished product he's doing now in England or the UK.
I mean, we did see, I mean, to be fair, he's not with the company yet, but sure, see a couple clips from him on the MJF Ospreay promo package. So again, I'm not too familiar with him. If people are putting him over like that, I'm intrigued. So I can only assume that maybe he might be involved with the Ospreay thing. And you know, again, Next week, it should be interesting. I feel like that crowd hopefully doesn't disappoint. We've seen those English crowds or those UK crowds really, really bring it. So it should be fun either way. I'm really excited. I'm really excited for next week's Dynamite, but we're here to talk about this week's Dynamite.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The show opens up with a banger. We got Mercedes Moné versus Hikaru Shida for the TBS Championship. A lot of people online were kind of like, wait, Shida's already getting a championship match, but who cares? It's a TBS Championship. It's kind of, and I've said it all the time, it's kind of known to be like an open challenge kind of affair. But I thought it was a great match. Match ends with interference from Camille, which I thought, you know, added some great heat for Mercedes. Then Britt comes in. Jimmy, I do want to talk to you because I feel like I saw a tweet from you talking about why don't you get, you know, something to kind of like a heater should get heat.
Yes.
Right. It was regarding this, right? I want you to elaborate on exactly what that tweet was.
Well, before I get to that, yes, I agree. I enjoyed the match very much and I was very much into the match. The ending took me out of it. And I'll tell you why. Two reasons why. I kind of like the little teaser where Camille attacks someone from the audience who she thought was disguised under a mask and hiding as Britt. And then Britt's music, and she comes through the crowd, but there was no urgency. There was no sense of like, I got to get her because, you know, I want to get my hands on her and tear her apart, whatever the case may be. But it just was so nonchalant. It bothered me. And then when she finally locked that hold on Mercedes, Camille is your bodyguard. Camille is your heater, as we say. She went in there and tried to pull her out as opposed to getting on Britt and just laying a mugging on her. That's what your heater does. She gets heat. She's there to get heat for you. And when you beat them, when you don't get heat on the baby face, then you don't get heat at all. So all that goodwill they did in the last couple of weeks, making her look like a $1 million. And oh my goodness, can anybody defeat this woman? You just told me now she doesn't want to get into it. She doesn't want to have a fight.
Did you see the same things, Flobo?
Well, maybe Jimmy was way more eloquent than I was because Camille was so lackadaisical. I was like, is she not rich? Like, was she a CEO in mind only and didn't pay for the full gold package? It was like, no, stop beating up my boss. But yeah, it was interesting to see. The match itself was great. Shida, even though she has appeared on Dynamite recently, has been pretty much off TV, give or take, for the better part of a year. And so you'll see a trend today. This was one of the most predictable matches because even though I love Shida, she had no chance. So the match happens. She wears down Moné. And I got to say something. I'm not sure it's because of how good Moné is or how good Shida is. But Shida's like, I'm going to fight to make sure I'm back next week, which I love. I love that sense of urgency. But yeah, that post-match exchange with Britt Baker and Camille kind of the air out. For me, I'm still going to watch the match. I mean, DMD is really much the only one who's on the level of Moné, but yeah, I wasn't more hyped after the segment.
Yeah, I do think it was Mercedes's best TV match. You know, obviously I'm not counting her pay-per-view matches, but it's probably been her best TV match. But yeah, I thought just the overall timing of it was weird. It was just something off. Like when they showed Britt kind of walking through the crowd, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you know, there's a random fan getting beat up by Camille. Don't you have any kind of sympathy for this random person that somebody thought, that they thought was you essentially? And then, yeah, I hate comparing because, you know, comparison is thief of the joy, but like Big Daddy Cool Diesel would have not just hit, he would have stomped on that person, right? Like if somebody had Sean in some kind of movie, like Diesel would have literally just probably grabbed him by the neck and just lifted him up. And Camille has that presence. So what is she doing? Just kind of trying to pull her off? Like, dude, like you're a monster. Like just, you know, you're a literal brick house. Right. Act like one for goodness sakes.
Yeah, but I digress. No, I completely agree with that.
Don't digress. That's the worst thing.
By the way, did you guys notice that there were a lot of video packages today?
Yeah.
Plenty.
Which is great. I liked it.
You like? I mean, I guess AEW is kind of known for their wrestling, so you kind of like that. It's something out of the norm, or is it more about just elevating the story that they're trying to tell?
So when it comes to packages, they did a more sports based thing, which somehow can wear on you. So if you're used to getting nothing and then now you get all this stuff, great. But at the same time, the problem I was having with AEW's pacing is that it felt like it was match, women's match, right? So the fact you get to break it up just a little bit, we'll see why MJF is so mad. We see why Pac is so mad. I know I'm jumping around. At least helps me understand the people who aren't wrestling, why they should care about all it. So I was fine with it today. Obviously, you can't do it all the time. But to me, it felt like when the substitute teacher is in class today.
So speaking of a backstage segment, we saw Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal get an interview back then, or backstage, only to be interrupted by Hangman Adam Page, and he goes crazy backstage, and it leads into his match with Jay Lethal, which I thought it was just Hangman just continuing his kind of crazy cowboy story, which I really, really enjoy. Jimmy, I do want to ask about this character that Hangman we're seeing. Is he a little bit out of can maybe like a little stalemate? I know we've been seeing rumors about the match at All Out is going to be Hangman versus Swerve, whether it's for the championship or not. But are you kind of happy with what he's doing now? Because it just seems like he's just on hold up until after All In.
I don't know if I'd say I'm happy with it. I'm enjoying what he's doing. I think he's really diving into this character of his, but he did get that much needed win, which we're going to talk about in a second, I guess, with Jay Lethal. But it's kind of same old every time. Every week it's the same. There's no levels to his character. I hate to say it.
He has flame pants, flames.
Oh, well. Okay, I'm not talking about actual wardrobe here, but his everything he does is very similar on a weekly basis. And don't get me wrong, he's doing it well. Mm-hmm. I just want to see different levels of this, not just 100 miles an hour, full steam ahead every week. I'm just going to beat the pants off somebody.
The flame pants.
I mean, I think they do a really good job at kind of emphasizing that he's the victim of all this, for goodness sake. Swerve broke into his house, was essentially right there with his family, with his child, and now he's the bad guy? And I always love that he walks out of the babyface tunnel, because quite frankly, like I'm saying sometimes bad guys know that they're bad, but at times that there are bad guys that still think they're doing good for the world. So do you enjoy that kind of like maybe element that we're seeing, Flobo?
I mean, it's I like the idea that someone could be pushed over the edge. I mean, anyone who's like read comics or the game Injustice can rock with that. And Adam Page is kind of a loose cannon, and it's very apparent that they have no plans for him at the top of the card. So make him as quirky and have him wear the giant red hat as much as he can, because it gives you something to care about. But again, much of the match before that, once I realized this is going to be Jay Lethal, it's like, well, I'm not going to call him any more of a badass, because beating Jay Lethal isn't really like beating Jay Lethal 10 years ago. So I'm a little cool with that. Hey, hot takes, y'all, all around.
You and to quote Brian Keith, you put some respect on Jay Lethal's name.
I will. But I'll be honest with you, every athlete has a down year or two. But right now, I think Jay Lethal's in it right now.
Yeah, it does seem like there are a lot of these matches were, you know, very predictable. I think there was maybe one, if that, that kind of like could have went either way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, easy victory for Hangman. There was no doubt. His brutal his style has gotten a little bit more brutal, more physical, which I enjoy. But after that, we saw a cool little video package with MJF and Ospreay, like going back to the video package that we've been seeing, where we saw Michael Oku and kind of a why this feud is happening. But then after that, we saw Pac, the guy that is actually the number one contender for. Are we calling it the American Championship? Are we still calling it the International Championship? I'm not too sure.
I'm not sure at all. I mean, the match is American, but even the international thing was mentioned. So
should we keep it the American Championship even if Ospreay wins it back?
Absolutely not. No. Absolutely, and I know it's a promotion that actually has a continental championship as well, but the American championship being made when the other guys have a United States championship is a kind of marketplace confusion you want to avoid at all costs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So my question is, why should the international championship not be on the same level of a world championship?
That is a booking question.
Yeah. It should be. I'm asking Flobo.
I think it should be. I think you think about all the titles we have that, and not even the tournament titles like the Omen Cup, the international title should be 1A to your promotion just because of the prestige and what it is, but it's become the workhorse title. Well, I'm not opposed to that, but then you also have the TNT, which is another workhorse title. So if I'm a wrestler who's not in the world title picture, you still haven't told me what I would elect to go to TNT over international, but I'm with it. It should be up there.
What do you think, Jimmy?
I agree to the extent that there are just too many titles. And, you know, you said, well, it, with the other guys, they have the Intercontinental Championship, which means it represents all the continents, does it not? Or is it just North and South America?
I thought it was North and South America going back to, yeah.
Yeah, Pat Patterson's win in that tournament, Rio de Janeiro. Right.
In Rio de Janeiro. That nobody seems to have any footage of.
I actually saw that match. That was a great match.
That was before you were born. How did you see that?
I saw it on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. You got to really, really look for it, to be honest with you. But a great match. Pog calls out and says, you know, he's going to be the guy that challenges for the championship at All Out, which is 2 weeks after All In. Then we saw another promo, a Darby Allin promo, where we saw him kind of explain the why, where, you know, he was this young indie guy and they saw that AEW was, you know, starting up and he was busting his ass. And he pretty much said that Jack Perry is a buddy hire. Right. You know, nobody kind of argues that, even though I think Jack Perry is a great talent, but then we have Jack Perry attack Darby Allin right before. Yeah. I don't even know who Darby Allin was supposed to face, to be honest with you. But you know, I kind of like these segments. And then it leads into Jack attacking Darby. And apparently now we're going to see a coffin match at All In. My question for you, Jimmy, I almost called you Jack. My question for you, my question for you, Jimmy, is it too soon for a coffin match? Like, they haven't even had a one-on-one match yet, and we're already seeing a gimmick match for their championship match.
You know what? Until you said it now, I didn't think about it. And now that you said it, I agree with you. I don't – that shouldn't be this quick, especially something as deadly as a coffin match. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds like a finality. And they, like you said, they haven't had a singles match yet. They met in that the cage, the gut, blood and guts.
Yeah,
match.
The blood and guts. Yeah.
But other than that, where have they faced each other one on one? Nowhere. So there has to be at least some, even if you want to make it a stip match, something where it's not as definitive an ending as a coffin match. What do you think their feud is.
Yeah. What do you think? Is it too soon? It's like seeing the first match in a series being like a cage match or a Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah. I think this is kind of the issue when you have a single booker looking over a show than having a team of producers and agents, right? So to Jimmy's point, yeah, you don't want to go from zero to Hell in a Cell or zero to, I'm not sure what the deadliest match it is nowadays, Inferno match, is that still a thing? But at the same time, if I'm booking a pay-per-view, knowing full well I have one in Wembley and I have another one 2 weeks away, you want to have some sort of like OMG moment, why not have that stipulation? So that's what the producer says, no, guys, we started running level one here, don't worry about it. But at the same time, it's like, would you buy a ticket to see Darby Allin and Jack Perry? I wouldn't. Right now I would not. And so, but now I do because someone may die. You know what I mean?
I do want to ask something specific to Jimmy though, because, you know, you've been in that element. You've been, you know, backstage for practically every pay-per-view between, you know, for a good 20 years or so. Mm-hmm. How do you find the balance of using a pay-per-view? Now, let's drop what we know about, that's, you know, Jack, Darby, anything, right? But just in general, just like as like a uniform thing, how do you find a balance of a pay-per-view match being a blow-off match or something worth building to something else?
I think it depends on somebody's vision for what they want for this, the rivalry or the feud to go. Do they want it to be a short-term thing? Do they want it to be a long-term thing? Obviously, the coffin match was synonymous with someone like The Undertaker. So when you said coffin match with him involved, it made sense.
Yeah.
The only connection I could make to this having a coffin match is that Darby Allin does a coffin drop.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, what connection do they have to having an actual coffin where you have to put someone in a coffin to win the match?
Yeah.
See, in WWE, that would be their mindset. Okay, We're going to have an Inferno match. Why are we having an Inferno match? Because Kane was burned by fire. There's a backstory there. What's the backstory here to having a something like a coffin match? Hell in the Cell was created. Again, Hell in the Cell, synonymous with The Undertaker, you know, just by the name alone. So
that was prison match. That's
what well, that was
yeah, the, prison, the Hogpen match with Henry Godwin.
Oh, my God. oh, my God. What's such the a
day of
match?
The day of the greatest rib in history was that day.
The Hogpen match or something yes. else?
Oh, during that day. Yeah, when they delivered the hogs. Yeah.
So, wait, they, so something it, about like so, some of the pigs were like unleashed somewhere, right?
Well, when they delivered the pigs to the arena, someone happened to be at the loading dock there by the name of the late, great Owen Hart. So when the gentleman who was delivering said, well, where do you want these pigs? And he led the gentleman, said, follow me. I'll take you right where they need to go. And he led them right into Vince's office while they were at the production. So Vince came out of the production meeting, walks into the office. Like 3 seconds later, he bursts out of the office screaming, Owen! He knew right away who it was.
Yeah, yeah.
That is cool. One of the greatest stories I've heard. But yeah, but going back, like you mentioned Hell in a Cell, or the Inferno match. Inferno match was a month after their regular one-on-one match at WrestleMania. Hell in a Cell, the first one was created because there was too much interference in the first Taker Shawn match, where I was like, oh, how do we make sure nobody gets in or out? You get a cage match and put a roof on it, even though Kane easily broke the door off of it. But yeah, I do think when they announced it was a coffin match, I'm like, really already? Like, you got a pay-per-view 2 weeks after. Like, you got so you're offering so much for All In that I don't think people are going to be upset if you. And I asked you that, Jimmy, because I was going to say I don't think people are going to be upset if you use the All In match to build toward an All Out match.
No, that makes perfect sense. That makes absolute perfect sense because that pay-per-view sold already.
Yeah,
you don't need to try and sell this match along with it. The match is fine. It, you know, people are going to get that, but you've got matches that people are already invested in. Will Ospreay and MJF. You've got Swerve and Bryan Danielson. The list goes on and on. So you didn't need to add to this.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily.
Yeah. So I'm happy that I got your guys' thoughts on that. Because I saw something on Twitter saying like, wait, a coffin match already? Like, I was like, oh, I got to talk about that on the show. But we saw another video package, a lot of video packages. And again, I'm not complaining at it. Because like I said, we talked about this earlier, Flobo, where everything on the show kind of meant something. And I dig that, especially when you have such a big show like All In, where you kind of have to go all in and really kind of emphasize these stories. We saw Mariah May's kind of first movie, I guess you could say, premiered. One of the things that she said, and I really like what she said, she says her Tony Storm's biggest mistake was being alive at the same time that Mariah May was. And I thought that was such a cold-hearted, great line to say. But after that, we saw the return of Mina Shirakawa, pretty much saying that she still loves them both. And, you know, she hasn't talked to anybody, but, you know, she wishes that everybody can just get along.
That's what I'm saying. So random. Did you fight for a job? Hey, guys, can we talk it out? let's go to mediation, man.
You know? Like, did you not watch what Mariah did to Tony like 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, we can work through it, right?
Yeah. So what do you think, Flobo, overall?
Okay, so here's a hot take for me, and I understand that this show tends to talk about the screws and tightening. I love Toni Storm. I'm not the only person who doesn't like this iteration of Toni Storm. So I'm glad that this happened the way it did, because Mariah May can be a villain. I think it's a little bit over the top, true to scenery. It's okay. But also having like this like love undertone and still with the classic romance overtone is pretty cool. And I'm not sure how it's going to end. They might not be friends ever again, but it is just something to sink your teeth into in that division.
Do you see who do you see winning at All In?
Unfortunately, you gotta make Mariah May the winner here. Like,
You gotta make Mariah the winner.
Yeah, I'm gonna say unfortunately, because I do think Toni Storm has to have, what they say, get her heat back. She needs to get back up to being one of the top attractions here, but it can't be at Mariah's expense because Mariah needs to be a made star. So here's an opportunity. This is like the match where we say Mariah has arrived, and then wherever Toni moves on to next, she has to win that one.
Interesting. What are your thoughts, Jimmy?
No, I can see your point. But at the same time, I'm kind of curious why, yes, Mariah May got her heat when she did that dastardly detour several weeks ago. But ever since there, I haven't felt that sympathy for Toni. Because like I say, always say that the baby face needs sympathy mm-hmm. for people to get behind her. Yes, the deed was done. She's got a little bit of retribution. They had 2 weeks of where they were had to be separated by several individuals. Security couldn't handle them. But I don't know. See, this was a tough call for me. This one's a tough call. I don't want to see it end for Toni Storm because I've enjoyed her title reign so, so much. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Mariah May's really starting to really dive into her character. And yes, maybe a little over the top, but at the same time, that's what Toni Storm was as well. And it worked. Yeah.
Well, you got
working for her as well.
I would say you got 1 week because I'm sure we're going to do predictions on next week's Dynamite review on Wrestling Inc. I only asked Flo because I don't think he's going to be with us next week, unfortunately.
Getting rid of me? Oh, no.
Already?
Jack, save me.
he's not the bad guy.
I think all we're missing from this program is maybe that one face-to-face where it's not physical. It's just a face-to-face, one-on-one, woman-to-woman, just pretty much, you know, again, no physicality. Put something in there where it's like, you know, you can't touch each other until your match, because I feel like there's a lot of meat missing as far as maybe just a lot of verbal aspects of it.
So back to what I was saying about the making the pay-per-view, this should be the gimmick match. This should be the AEW equivalent of a Hollywood backlot brawl. And that way it can be Tony's domain. But then when she loses that, you go, oh my gosh, Mariah's here.
I like that. That makes sense. See, there's the connection there. Hollywood backlot brawl.
Yeah, here's my pen.
It just writes itself. Okay.
And then Goldust should be the special referee, right?
Oh my goodness. Oh, now I'm sold.
next, we saw a number one spot, a triple threat match for the number one spot for the Casino Gauntlet match. Orange Cassidy versus Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly. I was confused because why would you want to be the number one spot in any one of these matches? But, Jimmy, but I remembered that the match could end at any time. So, technically speaking, the match could end without even a third person coming into the match. And if you're the number one person coming in, you have the best chance of winning as opposed to being the number 10 or the number 15 person winning. Mm. So what are your thoughts about that, Jimmy?
Oh, why do you have to go and make reasoning and sense? Oh my goodness. See, now you're ruining my deal here. No, you know, I kind of felt the same way. I'm kind of thinking, why would you want to be? It's like saying, yay, I'm number one in the Battle Royal, in the Royal Rumble. Same sort of thing. But
if you throw out number two, then you win.
You have to wait. Yeah, yeah. At the Rumble, you have to wait. This one here, if you actually eliminate the person who comes out number two, you actually win the gauntlet match. And there's 20 guys in the back upset and boo-boo face that they didn't get a chance at it. So now that you said that, it kind of makes sense. It's just, you know, this match, as far as the match goes, it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun. The only thing, again, here I go nitpicking with the finish again. The roll-up finish works when it's done in a way that makes sense. When you roll up a guy who's a lot fresher and you are practically on your last legs and you're holding this guy down, to me, that makes no sense. Mm-hmm. And I am nitpicking here. People are going to say, yeah, but it's a roll-up, baby. You see it all. Yeah, but Orange Cassidy was like basically selling his butt off, could barely move. He barely hooked him. And he was able to hold down Kyle O'Reilly while Kyle O'Reilly was still fairly fresh. That didn't sit well with me.
I was fine with everything. I was okay with it. But as a Kyle O'Reilly fan, when he got that look after the match going, I got pinned. No, no, no. I go, I cannot believe in this character ever again. What are you doing? Like roll out the ring, just be the whole, like, what happened? But him complaining and slapping the thing, I go, yes, you people have slipped on banana peels when they face Orange Cassidy. You're not the number one. That made him look so weak. But the match itself was great. Roderick Strong showing that how he has some strength, especially with the chops again. It was pure wrestling. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was a great match, but I do want to add on to what I was saying earlier. So, you know, you got the whole gimmick about, you know, whoever gets the first pinfall wins the gauntlet match. As long as you don't have people that didn't get into the match get a world title shot, I'm okay with it. Because we saw it last time, and we all blasted it. And I'm talking, we just tore it apart, and rightfully so. when Roderick Strong got a world title shot because he wasn't able to get into the match, I thought that was just AEW at an all-time low. So as long as we get rid of whatever that was for the future, you know, mm-hmm. like I said, if Orange Cassidy ends up beating the number two person, dude, that's awesome. It really would add some unpredictability. Although it seems like Darby Allin's got a title shot coming up soon. Whoever wins this match is going to get a title shot soon. So I would like for it to mean something more, not announce so many title shots on the horizon. Let's finish this next one first before we start mm-hmm. announcing future number one contenders, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm with it. I'm with it 100%.
Yep. Me too. Speaking of titles, we saw a face-to-face with Okada and Claudio Castagnoli. This was something. I don't understand the prestige of the Continental Championship, so I apologize if that sounds a little harsh. I like Okada, but I'm always afraid that he's kind of become a one-trick pony on the mic because it seems like everything is just leading up to him saying the B word.
Yeah, exactly. That's fun.
So you like that, Clobo?
It is.
I did not like it, but for different reasons.
It was fun the first time it happened in L.A.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, the Continental Championship is not a championship with the prestige, right? Okada didn't run the tournament, so him being like, it's mine, makes no sense. It shouldn't have been a championship to begin with. It was a tournament, should have been a cup. That's besides the point. But I think
Okada... Or medals. We don't see too many medals these days.
Sure. Remember the women's tag team medals from back in 2019? That was kind of cool. Oh. Shout out to Diamante. And what's Eva Lee's doing? Okay, anyway. But I like this because the Rainmaker, that's not happening. That ship sailed. It's not coming back. Even if it did come back, it'll be that weird time like when Kenny Omega brought back the cleaner. It won't be the same. So if he has to experiment it, if people get around this new version, I like it because if he retires, you can say, remember that time when corporate Okada was doing this? What I didn't like is Claudio, man. Here is somebody that I went to bat for years in Stanford. And he went over to AEW. He was in the back of Cowboy Club. I love him too. But him struggling to tell me why he wants that championship, like, it was the opposite of selling the match. He was like, I think it's cool. You're like, what? Claudio, like, you had all week, man. Tell me you want gold. Tell me you were overlooked. Tell me you're the strongest man, but you're a guy in the group, but you're based on your own. Tell me Okada isn't the same man. You just said, I want the Rainmaker. I go, that was a golden opportunity to make me care about that title, and you missed. And I'm so surprised that Claudio missing.
Hot take from Flobo really? Boyce.
Quite literally.
What do you think, Jimmy?
No, I can see where he's coming from, especially for the first part of the interview. But once Okada left the scene, I was fine with what Claudio had to say. He wasn't hesitating at all. He hit his points. The only thing I would have liked from it is maybe not have Okada walk away after he threw the B word out there. I almost said it. I probably would have got fined from the EVPs for that. But for using the B word, you know, and then Claudio could have just stepped up for, you know, because if somebody called me that, I'm not saying a fight would be on, but I'd be in your face and I'd give you the business. And I liked what Claudio had to say. I just wish he would have said it to his face.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of like what Claudio said to Flobo, you know, cause I kind of like that. He wasn't really a fan of this Okada. He wants to go back to seeing the Rainmaker back. So, yeah. I feel like if those two are at the top of their game, which we haven't really seen each one be at in a while, I think this can be one of the best matches that we see all year, especially on Dynamite, maybe one of the best matches of Dynamite history. So that should be a fun match for next week. We saw an interview by the Patriarchy, pretty much any following up on what happened on Collision, where you had the House of Black and the Bang Bang Scissor Gang. No, Bang. What are they called now? Bang Bang Gang?
Bang Bang Gang, yeah.
Bang Bang Gang, where we kind of ended it with a no finish. And Christian Cage going out there and saying, you know what? Virginia sucks. You guys don't deserve me. And it does seem like it's going to lead up into a triple threat match at All In, which should be fun. Every person is can go pretty well. And so, you know, anytime we see Christian on TV is always a plus, Jimmy.
Yeah. Actually, he's taken over my spot as Canadian heat magnet. So, yeah. Christian just knows how to do it. He's just a great heel. He's a natural. The only thing is, I would have loved to have seen him in the arena for this, because hearing that heat live instead of having to, for, you know, the crowd to see it on the screen, it's a different thing when they see it on the screen. But when they get it in the arena, that's when you really, really hear the hate that he has, that the people have for him. It would have worked a lot better out in the arena.
They should have switched this segment being backstage with the next segment being in the ring.
In the ring?
Do you know what the next segment was, Flobo?
The match? Yeah.
Nope. It was the learning tree. Oh, well, first, yeah. first we got Hook come out.
Yeah, I'm blind, guys. It's Hook. I'm
first, we got Hook come out. I'm gonna be.
We love Hook. Word?
Yeah.
Diplomatic.
You guys hate this show, didn't you?
No,
I didn't hate it. No,
apparently you guys did. It's Hook. No, he has one eye. He's cold-hearted. He's handsome. He's blind, but he's gonna. Okay.
I think Hook is very, very talented. I think he's got a very bright future. I think what he does in the ring is insanely great. But apparently Mike's skills did not get transferred down from Taz to Hook.
Well, to be fair, Taz was a stocky guy that looked like he could choke you out. That does a lot of the work for you. You know what I'm saying?
He sounded like he can choke you out.
But too. I also thought Taz was absolutely amazing on the mic. And I think Hook, it unfortunately is not. I think it leaves a lot to be desired. And maybe that's his fault. Maybe there's nobody there to work with him on that. I think maybe they're too focused on the in-ring stuff. I don't know. There's a lot of factors, but out comes the learning tree. Pretty much Chris Jericho teases that he will not fight Hook in Norfolk after Hook challenged him for a match, but it does seem like we're going to get our, apparently, I'm guessing, it's in his contract to be a part of every pay-per-view ever? Because wow. Now we're going to see Chris Jericho versus Hook at All In?
I'm in.
Okay.
It's for the world championship. That's prestige, man. It is the longest tenure championship in that company. We should have it in high regard. It's 25 years of lineage. Hey, what's going on?
I might have to go get my ref shirt for this one.
You got five, Flobo.
So tell me, why did you enjoy this segment so much, Flobo?
Oh, I did.
Yeah, so I'm doing that.
Wow.
And that's why I love it.
And that's why it was so great. But it does seem like this will be the last time, if Hook loses, that he'll get the challenge for the world championship. Mm-hmm. And if he loses, he's going to leave the Jericho Vortex forever. Sounds like a W in my eyes, even if you do the JOB. Mm-hmm. But it looks like we're going to see Hook versus Big Bill next week first. And, that's going to be some, did you enjoy this segment, Jimmy? And give me something positive and just, maybe it's just me.
Give you something positive from this segment.
Yes.
Okay. Hold on. Let me check my notes here. I got nothing. I got nothing. Sorry.
So this was the one that should have been backstage and have the patriarchy come out there, but you know, whatever. We saw the Young Bucks against the Acclaimed. If it was just me or Jimmy saying these things, then by all means, but look.
Yeah.
It's not just me. Amanda M says Hook is awesome in the ring, but agree. Wasn't on the mic.
No. I'm saying is you asked what was positive, and Jimmy had his notes, and Jimmy has the best notes in the business. He had nothing there. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. Oh my gosh.
Put some respect on Dylan Matthews and Amanda M's name. Are they related? Dylan is M stand for Matthews? Whatever.
No, they're not wrong. Hook isn't the best talker, but you're on a promotion where the best talkers don't have to be there, right? You have this title, which means nothing. You have Ikemon Jericho coming out with his weakest character in so many years. This is actually making sense, and I will say it to the end of the earth. I like the fact Brian Keith has become like this comedy stick.
Brian Keith has been the best
straight man in the business.
I love it. So there's parts I'm like, is the whole thing great? Or I recommend it? No, but it isn't like, turn the channel. Okay. It's fine.
There's my positive for you. There's my positive. Brian Keith.
Yeah.
Brian Keith is my positive in this whole thing.
All right. Yeah. Check out the notes.
With that said, you better put some respect on Chris Jericho.
Ikemon Jericho, that jacket was cheap. Like that was definitely Team U special. Let's be
right. I'm squeezing it into my notes right now, Brian.
I can't believe you dropped an Ikemon Jiro reference. I haven't heard that name, and I'd never thought I'd hear that name ever again. Young Bucks versus the Acclaim for the AEW Tag Team Championship. I thought this was going to be the main event of the show, which meant I already had it in my notes that this is BS, that Swerve is not in the main event. So then I had to delete that part of my notes. So I apologize in advance for assuming and jumping to the gun. But this was weird because you had this match that's been building and building for a while, right? Even before Blood and Guts. And then you kind of see the Acclaim. It's kind of like they are the transitional challengers, right? They were never really going to be a legit contender. They're just kind of transitional. And it does seem like it's setting up for FTR. I don't think we're going to see a triple threat match at All In. Maybe I'm wrong. Do we see that happening, or do we see Young Bucks versus FTR at All In, Jimmy?
How many times have we seen Young Bucks versus FTR in the past?
A lot, but I think about, I thought that too, and I'm okay if it happens again, because how many times have we seen, you know, Kurt versus Brock? How many times have we seen Steamboat Flair? And these are, if there's going to be two teams that really, you know, wrestle each other to death, I don't think it can be a better team than these two.
Yeah, then if you're going to add a stipulation to it, kind of similar to Daniel Bryan's, but with a little switch there. That FTR, this is your last shot at the title. If you don't win them, you never get another shot again. Something simple like that.
Amanda, real quick before I get into you, Flip, a lot of people said, why not a triple threat? I only said that because it does seem like they're building for a triple threat tag for the six-man championships. Mm-hmm. So I really don't – I mean, I could be very wrong. We've seen AEW do a lot worse. Right. But I don't think they're going to do two triple threat matches for a six-man and the regular tag team championships at the same event.
Not the same event, but I think it's going to be a triple threat tag match as well. I'm trying to be – and I understand because I'm going to go semi-negative here. I've wrestled one day in my entire life. So I am no position to be like, whatever. But Young Bucks – aren't the Young Bucks of old. They have lost a bit of a step. FTR is coming back from injury and being off TV. And then also you have the Acclaim, which still has a lot of positive reactions. So you put everything on into a blender, then it's something for everyone. Because you might run the risk putting FTR and Young Bucks where you have people not wanting to boo the new Young Buck characters or even cheer FTR, that match becomes flat.
We are going to see a number one contender match between Acclaim and FTR on Collision. And that should probably answer a lot more. But yeah, I mean, I thought the match was okay. As you said, the Young Bucks maybe aren't the Young Bucks, but they're also not babyface Hardy Boy rockers Young Bucks either. They're really trying to push their heel characters by not doing all the old flippy stuff that we like to see.
They shouldn't. Right.
But we should get some more clarity in a couple days after Collision, which should be, you know, we'll see if it's going to be a triple threat match or not. Right. Wouldn't mind maybe busting out a ladder here and there. I think that would be fun. Maybe shout out to TLC and those matches that were stole the show on a regular basis. And then we saw an amazing video package for Bryan Danielson. What? You're saying no?
Nope.
Didn't like it?
Sorry, finish your statement, but I did not.
No, I mean, I was just going to tell a personal story, but go ahead.
Please.
I was going to say, I know it sounds cheesy, but I remember when I was a senior in high school, it was a small school. We surprised the freshmen. So the freshmen had an orientation. It was only freshmen for that day. And then they go into like the auditorium, or whatever. And then all the seniors, we sang that song to the freshmen. We were like, hey, you know, welcome. We hope you have the time of your life, you know, here and as you venture your first 4 years of high school. I don't know. So I always think about that when I hear the song. But what's wrong with this? I thought it was one of their best. Was it because there was no WWE footage in the video?
Whoa. How dare you assume? First things first, man. Don't tell me how old you are. But you were in high school a long time, and that song was used back then for cheesy schlock.
No, because that could have been a year ago for all that matter. Because that song came out 20 years ago. But I could have graduated high school anytime in the last 20 years.
But you know what I'm saying? You are a man who's so smart. I'm very sure you graduated. You were 5 or 6 years old. But that song.
I graduated when I was 16, by the way.
I'm impressed. I was one day before my 18th birthday. Anyway, the song is cliche and it's super sappy and super cheesy for one. Then you have it before a matchup two, and then you don't even do it at the giant event. Look, you don't want to have the whole Curry thing for Bryan Danielson now. You want to have people there at that night being it's a part of a moment. What it was tonight with the cheesy song and the placement
was filler, which is a disrespect, a denigration to Danielson's career. Because now after that's over, it's like, and now Wheeler Yuta. What? Come on, man. Are you kidding me?
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You're wrong. Amanda M, beautiful video, but missing so much. Oh, I would think Hunter would easily supply some footage if asked. I don't think so.
Yeah, good send-off. There's a good send-off. This was a crappy one.
Yeah, for me, the choice of song. It was a choice of song. I hope you had the time of your life. It's kind of like, isn't that kind of like a goodbye song?
It's just a maybe. Like, you know, what? Maybe he wins the AEW championship and I'll be like, all right, cool. Yay, he won. Or maybe he doesn't and he has to retire. Then you're going to be like, oh man, we should have played that song. We should have, maybe they should have played the Dynamite after if he retired.
I know. But yeah, I know I'm going to catch a lot of, you got to be kidding me for this. I'm going to throw this scenario out there and tell me what you guys think. Let's say he was to defeat Swerve at All In and achieve the goals that he wanted to achieve in his life, but he also made that promise to his family. He says, as much as I love this, I love my family more, and he lays down the belt in the ring and leaves it there. And then you hold that tournament for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship and build your next pay-per-view to that.
Poetic.
Just a thought. Just run it out there.
I like it.
I don't. No, I mean, because we already saw that happen with Sting, you know, like we can't have that twice in like 6 months.
Tell him to stop retiring then.
But then again, AEW isn't worse. I liked it. I liked it overall. Maybe it would have been better if it was on the Dynamite after if he would have retired. But again, he's not even, he did say he's not going to wrestle at all, right? Because I know he's always been saying like he's not going to wrestle full time anymore, but he's pretty much saying that he's done if he doesn't win the championship, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. See, at least that leaves the door open for him to come back for a one-off.
Yeah. But then we had a match with Flobo's favorite wrestler, Wheeler Yuta.
Yeah, and, I like Wheeler. He's a good person.
And Swerve Strickland. This go back to your predictability and where you knew exactly what was going to happen in this match, Flobo.
I knew that Swerve was going to win. He had to, right? But I understand when you're going to get somebody who's on his retirement tour, you're going to get booed anyway. But I felt like you completely destroyed a person that has been destroyed so many times. And for what? So you're like bragging, yeah, I beat up your friend. I'm like, well, so did half the roster, bro. But now I have to boo you because you're going against Danielson. It served nobody. But I will say this, Swerve is good at what he does. So he leaned in. It was good character work. I'm just concerned about the direction.
What I see Swerve kind of leaning into more of a heel character in some ways. Why do you think he seems so upset? He's the champion. Brian's the one that's going after him. Like, I have my theory, but I kind of want to hear what somebody else's theory is.
I feel, and maybe this is me projecting, that it would be great if he said, yeah, when everyone else was champion, there was all this fanfare, and I'm here busting my ass, and I'm not getting the respect that I deserve. But I don't think that's what's happening in story. I just think that here is somebody that wants to have the edge of the breaking and the entering Swerve while being champion. You can't serve two masters at once.
What do you think, Jimmy?
No, that makes a lot of sense because, we've harped on this for a long, long time, that Swerve, they haven't done him any justice as champion.
Yeah.
He should be first and foremost their number one priority. And he seems like he's an afterthought a lot of times. And that's not a shot at him personally, because I love his work. I think he's great as champion. It's how he's been presented on television. It's just, or even on pay-per-views. It's just not been the way a champion should be presented, especially your world heavyweight champion. There were times where the IWP, GP championship was front and center, and he was like in the opening match and that sort of, you know what I mean? It's just, so maybe this is him. He could lean into that a little bit, saying, you know, I am your world champion. You talk about, everybody says they're the best wrestler. They're the best wrestler. You know who the best wrestler is? The guy who holds this.
Mm-hmm.
That's who the best wrestler is. And you're not treating me like I am that. So I'm going to take everything from you guys. And you guys want to cheer me? To hell with you guys.
Yeah.
I don't need you. I'm going to prove it to all of you that I am the best. I'm going to beat your favorites. I'm going to beat the people you hate the most. I'm going to beat everybody on the roster. It doesn't matter who it is. something.
Yeah. I mean, I've been thinking a lot of the same thing where, like, you know, we're seeing a lot of the tendencies, right? The heel tendencies. And I just like that for him to come out and be like, All In is not about Daniel Bryan, or it's not about Bryan Danielson. All In is about the AEW World Champion. And all this energy, all this time, all this effort that you're putting into this guy that's a challenger, that's a bum that I'm going to beat, should be on me. I'm the champion. I should be the main event every single time. I should be the one with the, you know, the biggest person on the poster, because we're not really seeing that. So I'd like for them to incorporate that in some ways. I think it'd be great. But yeah, I thought it was a fun segment. I thought we saw a side of Swerve that, you know, we haven't really seen happen in a while. And you know, we saw this viciousness. Even we saw when we saw Danielson kind of come in and, you know, I guess console Wheeler Yuta. We saw Swerve come in and kind of finish the job on Brian. And I'm digging that. I mean, he's kind of becoming a little ruthless when it comes to, you know, talking about the family. I dig it. And I dig this Swerve. He just kind of gives no, you know, what's in regards to anything, because anything that's going to stand in the way of him being champion, he's going to do whatever he has to do.
Do you cheer for Swerve at all in or no?
Either. I think he's going to be the Danielson is going to be the ultimate babyface heading into All In.
But I mean, you specifically.
Me specifically, I'm hoping that Danielson wins the championship and leaves All In with the champion.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about you? Are you cheering? You can't ask a question and not answer it yourself.
Oh, yeah. I don't get Swerve. I don't get what motivates him anymore when he was on that championship run, right? So he was going up that mountain. It was, you guys disrespected me. You guys thought I was a fringe, but I am tough. I'm hard hitting. You got to invest in me. He becomes champion, but then it's kind of like, why isn't anyone respecting me? And it's like, well, you're the champion. You've gone through everyone, but you really haven't said anything of note. And now you are going into heel tendencies, saying I'm beating up friends backstage. And so it's hard to get on the Swerve train now, unless you're somebody who's like, I remember Swerve from years ago. He's my guy. I'm picking him at Pony. If you're watching AEW week to week, you're like, this guy's done everything deplorable for you not to like him. How do you root for him and All In?
Are you cheering for the Bryan Danielson defeating Swerve at All In, Jimmy?
No, I'd like to see Bryan Danielson achieve that goal and beat Swerve at All In and really set him off the rails.
It's crazy because I think he's like the ultimate worker, because like he's talking about on interviews, like on his, I think he was on the Bella's podcast saying like, oh, I'm going to have surgery for my neck later this year. I'm like, oh my God, like, how are you wrestling? Like, are you going to be champion? I don't know. Just whatever he's doing, I think it's working, because I think it's adding a lot of intrigue to the main event of All In. I'm looking very much so looking forward to this championship match. I think it's going to be a classic one. Two Washington boys going at it in the UK, and I think it's going to be a fun ride going into after All In,
especially with Danielson, who's a master storyteller too.
Yeah,
and I'm sure these guys are going to have one hell of a match. Now the question is, does this go on last, or is it Ospreay and MJF?
It has to go on last, because even like going back to last year, there were a lot of good matches last year. But MJF and Adam Cole was last. I think that had a good story as well. But I think you gotta close out with the AEW. Like, especially if like Danielson wins, you can't have that not be the end, you know, visual for that pay per view.
Yeah, the last thing that people see.
Yeah. Oh, the last thing people see is to see that coffin match, man. Woo! Casket match, yeah.
Well, one of them, that's going to be the last thing they see, but anyway.
Yeah. But overall, what are your final thoughts for this episode of Dynamite, Jimmy?
I thought it was okay. There was some stuff that obviously I thought could have used a little tweaking, but, I like the fact that they're trying to show a little more video packages and get you caught up to speed and further storylines.
Yeah.
Which is something we've always complained about, but everything's at rapid pace. The only issue I have with a lot of the stuff today was placement in the show. Mm-hmm. Like the opening match and the segment that happened afterwards, they went straight into the next thing backstage with Hangman beating up on Jay Lethal. And so, you know, why not go to the commercial then instead of coming back, instead of going straight into the match and then having to do the picture-in-picture gaga that really drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it drives a lot of people. It's like trying to watch. It's easier to watch it on your cell phone than watching that picture in picture. That's the way to put it that way. But other than that, you know, again, had its ups and downs, had its hits and misses, but, you know, I thought the last few weeks prior were better.
Yeah. What are your thoughts? Final thoughts, Flobo.
I know this is almost too many video packages, but I actually prefer it more than less than, because there were some episodes we have. Remember the Devil Era? It was just all wrestling, and I was like, oh my God, this is too much work, but I enjoyed it. Hikaru Shida, I'm not sure if she's watching the show, but she definitely has to have a chance to have another run. I think she's due. This iteration could work. I kind of wished it was a second women's match to really drive home the fact that it's more than one women's match a week. But other than that, man, solid show. I'll check out next week, you know?
And where can people find you on the Instagram or Twitter or on the MySpace, Flobo?
Oh, the MySpace. Check out the Friendster. MySpace. Yeah.
And I'm in your top eight, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You're number one. Sorry, Tom. It's just George. Nobody else. Check me out on that X and Blue Sky F Lobo Boys. Every Wednesday, I have an NXT show. It's called Draped in Gold. Learn more at drapedingold.com, where Jack or George this week got on the show. We talked about the white and gold brand. And if you want to see my comedy sports writing blog, justthesandwich.com. Cool.
And yeah, I know you do a lot of traveling too. You're traveling all over the world for... Or travel the country for like the baseball stuff. You got the baseball mixtape, right?
Oh, yeah. Part of the Black Baseball mixtape for fans of color. Check that out wherever you get your podcast. I was just in Minnesota on Monday to watch the Twins, my 24th ballpark out of 30. Got to hit Toronto next.
Ooh. I think you should give Jimmy a call. What's in Toronto?
You're hitting Toronto? When?
I'm trying to. I don't have a date yet, but can I see your couch, man?
Hey, we got a spare bedroom, dude. You don't need no couch, man. Get your own room.
Wait.
And what about you, Jimmy? I know you got a lot of things going on. You got the Reffin' Rants and the Reffin' It Up. Who's on Reffin' It Up this week? I want to know.
Oh, this week on Reffin' It Up, Veda Scott has joined us. A lot of things I found out about her that I didn't know. And I think it's very interesting. I think you're going to enjoy that episode. And obviously here with you guys on Wednesdays and after Dynamite, after Mondays, after Raw. Again, more of the same. And what is that other thing I do? Oh, yeah. I tend to rant a lot on my Instagram, which is at Jimmy Corderas. No, that's at Real Jimmy Corderas, and Twitter is at Jimmy Corderas. Just little things where I think some screws might need some tightening that I believe need tightening. It's my opinion. And if you don't agree with me, that's fine. Just be nice about it or you'll get blocked. That's all. And there's some things in the works right now. And as soon as the NDA is over with, I'll be able to release that information soon, but there's some stuff in the works.
Ooh, I can't wait to find out myself. Yes, you can tune in to the after show here at The Review for SmackDown this upcoming Friday. I think Monday you guys are going to have a special guest on the Raw review, right?
Do we? Oh, let me check really quick.
Yeah. Breaking news, we're going to have someone in the booth on Monday, and I think his name is George Hermosa. That's right.
That's right. I'm joining you guys this Monday for a special guest appearance. Nice. I can't wait. But in the meantime, you can follow me at G Hermosa, GHERMOZA, on all the social medias. We got a nice interview coming up on the Wrestling Chatter. Promises to give you a lot of spirits, if you catch what I'm saying.
Wrestling spirit, eh?
Spirit, little spirit fingers. You know, these aren't spirit fingers. These are spirit fingers. I don't know. Just randomly bring it on. But until next time, we will see ya. We are out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.